the IQ test, but I failed last time.
It's with humorous. You look quite funny at the moment.
What? We need for one moment to check to get. This isn't supposed to look like.
Actually,
yeah.
So we can get you on camera.
Yeah.
Is that comfortable?
Yes.
Okay. It's actually, the strap is meant to go behind your head.
You see, I never get this. So what's the point? So if this is strap,
I don't
is,
know.
If this strap is supposed to go behind, I'm obviously doing this wrong. I'm obviously failing this, like, I said, whatever, calling center.
You have this going behind your ears.
Like
yeah,
this.
That looks about right.
Yeah, you know what this just has to be.
And you put the microphone in front of your chin, actually, not in front of your mouth. Yeah. Good. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Yes, so, not much to talk about at the moment in terms of like talking about each other's stuff, I mean, beyond what we've been talking about yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So what I've been thinking is maybe if we try to really make sense together of the XML format to be sure that we can all produce the data that we are producing in a way, or at least, I mean, I guess my data I'll probably load in completely different way anyway because it's matrix, but all the stuff that goes as annotation, that we have it in the right format. Maybe if we just sort of pool what we know about the XML format and try to make sense of it. And I don't at all know how to go about this. What I did just now is I downloaded some files, some XML files, and I was thinking if we maybe just should go through some of them and like try to see if we understand the general structure and pull together what we think about the structure, what we think the things mean, and then talk about how the annotation for information density and stuff should maybe be structured in a similar way.
Yeah.
But I don't really have an idea like what otherwise what we would do today in this meeting. I mean.
Yeah, we haven't got that much to talk about, don't we?
Just maybe talk about how you would give me your data file.
Yeah. Yes,
what's that part?
That's the interface between having the topic segments and
mm-hmm.
calculating the information importance of words.
Mm-hmm.
So I would need separate files for each segment or just maybe have delimiters in between.
Yeah, well, that's the way it works. It's called delimiters in between among the boundaries.
And I can make files of that.
Yeah, if you have to do that, yeah.
Right.
And you're saying you need a label for each segment, but I mean, the most.
No, I don't.
You don't need
a
label. Well, I could give you an ID, but it'd be quite difficult to actually give a topic a title.
I just need a title for the file, but it doesn't matter what it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah, so does anyone have a good idea where to start? Like, which. What is it we're talking about getting in at the moment? We're basically just, because the two of you will merge your data together, right? In some way, like in the end it'll result in one annotation. So the only thing we're trying to tie in is just an additional annotation which is similar to the annotation about, but what would it be most similar to? Simply to the segmentation information.
Yes,
or
yeah, I mean they're all very, very similar, all those XML files. I had a look at the, for example, edits.
See, that's what I was thinking. not sure what software I have at the moment. Hello? Does anyone know any good standard software that displays XML? I'm not sure. Yeah, but I'm afraid I only have Firefox, and Firefox doesn't have a nice XML view anymore.
So what we have then when we are mixing our values together, is it a value for each expression, for each sentence or something?
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, for me it's quite difficult to say, what scope one annotation would have. I think it would be certainly more than one word, and I think would work best with utterances or segments.
Yeah, I would just end up with values for each word, so I wouldn't have any boundaries or segments at all. I just would have the words, and then how we how long each expression would be, I don't know.
But going from a word business, wouldn't it be easy to then go back and calculate for each utterance?
Yeah, but what is an utterance?
Each turn,
I
so
think
if we
just the segments as
okay.
They're segmented and
yeah.
So what we would fit in into the XML files would be a value for each utterance, or would you?
I think so.
Okay.
And we would probably still need your values for the words, perhaps for the keywords that are displayed.
So then we would have to fit in more than just one word value. So.
Yeah, but that's another representation then, I think, for the impressions value.
Does anyone know in which file the actual, what's it called, the splitting into the utterances?
They're not segments.
It's
called
dialogue.
Dialogue. Dialogue.
No, it's not dialogue. It's, for example, there's BDB001C1.
What does it end with? Does it end with sex? Does that look like it?
I can't see. But
yeah,
that's
I think that's it. Yeah. You've all got an ID for each utterance.
Just see if my K right. How much time is spent? Is that better to see? I guess, yeah, might be better to see. Just keep thinking. So
here that's for
this
each
this
segment. That's really all segments. I mean, it can be words or topics or anything. I think it means. That's why it's, for example, a time provenance dialogue act or time provenance segment or time provenance.
Yeah, and it's got a different file for each speaker.
But what is this? I mean, this doesn't contain any content, like any text.
No,
it just points
it,
to the to the words.
Oh wait, somebody explained that slowly to me. So
yeah, some of them point to the words, others point to the dialogue acts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a global thing that ties together.
So what do all these things in this file have in common? What are they?
Yeah, they have the night ID, the time.
No, but like, so they are segments in what sense? Well, what's the definition of segment?
I suppose
they're
not utterances, but also includes things like
the segment
like
is what is displayed in one line.
Okay.
And
And that's usually dialogue. What's the difference here between pronouns, dialogue acts, and between segment?
Yeah, it looks. The segment thing looks in the, into the words, XML file, and the dialogue acts. I think it's.
A dialogue acts
in a different.
Are dialogue acts annotations of dialogue acts, or is that just another representation of text?
No, they're annotation of dialogue acts, and one segment can have. But one of those word strings that are present in one line can have several dialogue acts annotated on it. That's why.
Just to connect these files. Remember. So the stuff that's called segment here, that, do we know which file this is pulling from? From, yes, it's from words XML. Is that what it's saying here?
Yes.
Let me see if I have that words XML. So let's, for example, look at.
So we would
need a value label for each of those segments that are not dialogue acts. For all those that point to the actual words.
Okay, let me just try to get them all to difference. I'm trying to arrange them so that you have one above the other, so to make some sense of that. So now here we had.
But I think the segment search is not exactly what we are looking at, because that's just one tying all the others together. And the information, or I mean, we're going to create a file that looks more like the words file, I think.
Well, I'm just trying to understand what the segments file is about. Like, it's referencing here, it's referencing to a certain position in the words file. So it's that non-vocal sound one here. That's the mic noise, okay? But what's, does it always just, oh no, it's referencing to several word assumptions. So this would be basically be a sequence, right? So that's from W52. Are they not ordered? Are they from W52 down to W, what are we talking about? In that.
To discourse marker, disf marker 5.5.
Oh, okay. So this is somebody saying it doesn't. With any confirmation, do we actually see from this file who's doing it, just of interest?
This is all in speaker D. Speaker D.
Sorry, in speaker D's file. So this is where he, like, time stops, and then it only starts at a later time because, sorry, you don't see when I'm pointing at the screen. So then it starts here, this time against speaker D, because in between there's somebody else.
Yes,
okay.
You can see whether there's somebody else or not. You can see that in the W point, first it's W point 54, and then it's 76, so there are
Okay.
This number of utterances of other speakers in between.
Okay, so the file with annotations for information density, what would that be like? Would that be like the segments file giving a start word and an end word, or would that, how would that be to best tie in with the system?
Yeah, I think we would also need two of those.
Sorry?
I think we would have the same structure, one that points to it, where we tie together all our information. So we would perhaps have to
something
make
like
one.
Something like this, or like where you give sort of a reference to a beginning and an end position.
Yes, and then another one that would perhaps give the actual probability value.
Well, that would be in the same file, wouldn't it?
Couldn't
we have a like.
Probably in the same file, I don't know.
I guess we could introduce a different.
But if you have several layers, then can't represent them all in the same file.
Well, for now, if we just do something which for every segment in here attaches, actually, can we not tie it to the segments file? Would that not be the way how they would want it to do it? If we, in the end, we want to attach to each of those segments one number for now. And those segments have, do they have an ID? Yeah, I guess they do. So this is the ID of a specific segment, right?
And segment part one.
Yeah, so wouldn't it, I mean, the problem is they haven't looked at the exact inner workings of the engine yet, but you'd think that the easiest way, and the way that how it's intended to be, would be just, if we have here a link to the segment, like an ID for that segment, that we just create another file which links to the segment and then has an additional value which is the number.
So you mean an attribute?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about having two files. I was thinking, I think I understood wrong. I thought you were wanting to have two different XML files, with one reference and one just the number. And I was thinking that's probably what you meant, just having, like for each sort of our segments, having just the ID, which is referencing to these segments here, and another attribute, which is the value.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole information would then store in this, that I don't have access to because I didn't download it. Like there's this one meta information file where it describes the structure of all the files and describes which attributes they bring in. So we would add that to that file, saying that sort of we bring in information density, and then we would create a file of that type, which we probably couldn't call it segment. I'm not sure, we probably might have to have different word for it. I'm not sure if it, there's any trouble with it repeating.
Wouldn't it be easiest to just incorporate a new attribute in this file?
In the existing segments file?
Yeah, I know that's probably not very nice, but would be quite easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I can actually, if you make a copy of it.
But I mean, that's not all the information that is in the corpus in the segments file. I think that is just the things that are loaded every time. But we have lazy loading, so it can load more than that. Perhaps we could just try to to make our file one of those lazy loaded, but I mean, I have no real idea how that works.
What are you saying about the? Doesn't the lazy loading apply to everything? I mean, that it sort of dynamically loads.
Yes, but it has a basic thing that it loads, I think. So, for example, every time it loads the segment things, it can't not display words, I think.
You think it loads the whole of the segments file every time?
I think so. That's how I understood it.
The segment at the moment is split up.
Because otherwise, in the other things, there's no information about what the participant name is and so on. So, in the segments file, it's really very basic that have to be displayed for any thing.
Mm.
But they display the segments in, or that the utterance is in their user interface as well, where the words are displayed. So they have their utterances displayed in their interface, so that they access probably this file and then they display the words. So why should we be able to do that?
No, but I think it's too early to really like discuss that in detail because we don't at all understand at the moment how the internal data structure, like how the loading works. So maybe if we go ahead, do you think it would be possible for you to do an like something like segments, or maybe just a copy of segments which has an attribute for each segment, which is like with a value, with a density value?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be difficult to create a file for that shape, and it would be more.
Would it be easier though, because all your methods are sort of not working with their whole time frame structure there, so would it be easy for you to tie the things together, like if you're doing it on the word basis here with those words, that in the end you then tie it back in into the right segment here? I mean, you probably have to do
it. Yeah, I don't know how about you with your words, but for my segment with the F0 measurements and all those values I get from there, I always store the big start and end time of everything I calculated there. So I would just
have time based at the moment.
Yes.
So this isn't directly having time referenced, but you can get the. Oh, it is actually here. Okay. So if you slice it up by time, you'd probably be able to just like attach like just some attribute of info val just to each of those segments.
But actually my segments are not always the same as their segments, because and their segments are pulses sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You're not just going to suppose one's blank.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, one segment of theirs is sometimes two segments of mine. That's just what I meant.
Okay. I don't understand enough about the data structures. It really would be a lot easier would I really understand how they are handling the data internally. Because then I could say, oh, it's easy to just tie it in if you just have a timestamp or just reference by words and stuff. But at the moment. So you're doing a word by word base.
Yeah, the problem is probably that I extract all the words and then I don't use an ID or something for it, so it would be difficult to write it back to the right position.
But every word, does the word picking, like does it always have the same information value in your thing, or does it depend on its position?
It depends on the position, I think.
It depends on the position. You're doing this via some software that's like external software, so you can't.
Yeah, I could use a different approach.
So what if you get the results from that software and you go back over it then with that file, sort of you write an algorithm which then goes back, because they're in the right order still and stuff, right? So that shouldn't be a problem. But this is by speaker here, which makes it slightly more difficult. The problem is that actually NightXML probably provides a lot of the tools that
you
need to do that.
I made a file that contains just the start times. It could contain end times and words for all speakers of all meetings. I mean, that's just the same
in a temporal
thing
sequence.
as I gave to you, but displaying also start and end times of every word. So you could perhaps use it to match with your additional information unit.
Yeah, what did you use to make that file?
Yeah.
You didn't use MXML to parse
that?
No.
Would you think it would make sense to just take files by speaker? It doesn't matter what input I give to Rainbow. So I just could use the files as they are. I don't know if that's...
But would the information density algorithm still make any sense if you split them up? Because I mean, I thought the whole thing is that you look at the frequency of a word in that specific, how often a word occurs in a certain topic versus how often it occurs over the whole corpus, and that from that it calculates.
No, I think it's not less the whole corpus. It's you have certain categories, and you measure which words have the highest information for one category. So it's the categories across each other, I think.
But would you then not get the typical words for every speaker? If you
probably, yeah. But
yeah, but gut feeling it's not a good idea.
Say how you find that you
speak. No, but I mean, it can't be that difficult. If you already have, you have in the right order all the words with a score to them. You have a file which has each word and a timestamp.
Yeah.
So those two tied together have each word and its time and its
value.
Yeah.
What the problem is, I don't know exactly. I think the information gain in Rainbow is ordered by the value of the information gain. I'm not sure if I can get the right order and the values. That's the problem.
So they're at the moment.
If the order stays the same, it's no problem at all to just write it back again. But if It's ordered by information gain. I don't know where the words come from because it has a back of words for presentation.
It appears to me that Rainbow was made for something quite different.
Yes, it is. It was made for text classification.
So hopefully you put our information back in there.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Are you actually sure that Rainbow is doing a measure, like is returning a measure of what we are trying to measure? Because it seems to me that it sounds like something quite different in
yeah,
many aspects.
What it actually does is that you put in some documents,
mm-hmm.
and you have several documents per category, and you have several categories,
mm-hmm.
and then it measures which words are typical for a certain category.
Yeah.
And if you get a new document, it will compare which words are in that new document.
Yeah.
And if there are a lot of words that are typical for one category, it will assign it to that category. And if it's typical for another one, it will assign it to that one.
But where do you have the original category information from?
Yeah, it's because you have different files. If this is your directory,
yeah.
you have a directory 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
and this represents the category. Everything that's in there is in category 1.
So where do you have them from at the moment, the splitter?
Yeah, just split it up.
In the topics, in the human topic. So you've split it up by topic at the moment?
No, I've just split them up somehow by there are several documents for each meeting,
yeah,
and I just put one in each category, so it's not very sensible at the moment because I'm waiting for the topic segment, so I'm just
okay. I was just thinking that doesn't make sense at all, but yeah, if that's just while you're waiting, okay. Have you ever looked into different ways of calculating? Because I was just thinking, the entropy calculation is such a box standard simple calculation that you could probably write the script in no time at all.
Yeah, maybe it's better if I write it myself, because otherwise it's too easy to just split things up into bins and it wouldn't be any work at all in terms of programming or something.
Yeah, but also just I think that probably the entropy value at the moment for a word is closer to what we're at the moment looking for. I can sit together with you for 20 minutes and just show you the entropy code that I wrote for my other project. And
right.
It's probably, and we should work together because we use the same matrix as I'm using in Malakin's semantic analysis you use to calculate entropy scores. And then we'd have a score which would be the same for the word in each position. So in that sense, it's doing something
mm-hmm.
a bit different. And basically the score that I'm talking about is a conditional entropy score, which just checks how much information the fact that there's one word tells you about what would be the next word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a relatively good measure of whether that's a very specific word, in which case they're usually words which tell you quite a lot, or a very general word which usually doesn't tell you quite a lot.
How do they calculate that actually?
It's basically the standard entropy formula.
Okay.
You sort of you.
So how sure and sure you are about the what's following and the operator context?
Yes, yes. And I think the official the official description of what it tells you is how much that the fact that a given word occurs tells you about what's the next word is going to be.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound too exciting, but it just works out in the way that words which are promiscuous and a word which occur with everything all over the place have very low scores from that. And also usually end up being the words which are least expressive and contain less information.
Well, function words and stuff.
Yeah, function words are just very general nouns, probably whatever, for example, the word computer in that context. You could imagine it to be in all the contexts.
But do we have enough data for that it gives us sensible things? Because, I mean, the words we're really looking for appear not too often, and if they appear 5 times in the meeting and they have each time different,
yeah, so we wouldn't do it by word, we would
data.
Sorry, okay, I was getting that actually, sorry. I was getting that wrong, I was getting it from what I did in my project. Now in this case, we would do it by per meet words per meeting. So
yeah, but almost I think similar to what I'm doing, because words that are in every class that are not very informative, but words that are only in one class are very informative for that class.
Yeah, so it's probably doing quite the same thing in the end, but I'm just saying, like, with that thing you would easily have an algorithm which at the moment provides you for each word with a score which you can use. I was describing the wrong thing. In this case we wouldn't be doing how much it tells you about another word. In this case we would be doing, given that you know a word, how good is it at predicting from which specific topic that was.
Yeah, okay.
So that would, yeah, in a sense it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that would give the same value for one word every time, I mean for a specific word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it would be quite easy to reintegrate it into
a specific word per
the same word. The word yesterday would have the same score all over the place.
All over the place. And in my case it would have, I think it would have different values for each category. But in that category it would have the same value at each place.
Okay, but then it would also be possible to reintegrate it. Would be more it would be a bit more work.
But your category thing depends on that we not just have topic segments, but also that these topic segments we have them in categories. Wouldn't you need several documents for each category? Or several segments for each category?
That would be best, but I would have to look at that.
Will it work without that at all?
At least it works if there are several categories with one document each. But it,
so in our case, basically every topic would be its own category. And the question is, does the algorithm doesn't make any sense in it? I don't understand the algorithm enough for that, but. What I really like, because the entropy calculation is so simple, maybe we should look into making that score just as a preliminary score that we have.
Okay.
Like it gives you, like, I've looked at the result, it gives you basically something in the end which vaguely tells you just whether a word is a very specific word or a very general word.
Yes.
And there is some hope that probably having just sentences where there's lots of very specific words, if you mark them as being more interesting than the words which are only very general words, that they would get us somewhere.
What score would a word get that just occurs once in all the corpus, for example?
Probably 1.0 is very high information value.
Even though there are all the other same topics where it doesn't occur?
Yeah, because this would. Yeah, in a sense, I mean, this is a bit like document frequency over total frequency measure. It's sort of just going by.
So would it be higher scored than a word that occurs in every sequence of the same topic?
What do you mean, every sequence of the same?
Yeah, I mean, we have our several topics. For example, we have 20 topics, and for one of these topics there are 5 occurrences, and we have
within the topic. So like topic, when you say topic you mean like just like from a beginning to an end point, like within one meeting there are several topics.
Yes, but across meetings there will be the same topic several times.
But we don't have that information anywhere, do we?
Okay. I thought that was what you were doing.
Well, when it splits the topics up, it does do it on regular words that occur, but it doesn't tell you what they are.
Segment similarity, I think that was.
I'm doing one on segment similarity in the end, yeah. I'm doing finding similar segments based on in semantic analysis. For now, your segmentation is just splitting a meeting up into different blocks.
Yeah, you can't.
And they are not
AP.
Related then to other blocks of.
Not from what Colin is doing, from what I.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It's only that I'm writing an algorithm with it, which then tries to also, again, based on word occurrence patterns, try to link together maybe different ones of those.
Yeah, okay.
So.
So yeah, how would it work? I mean, what would his information then be useful for in Wernigerode? And I thought the point about that was that we would put into several categories all the segments of the same topic.
Oh no, I thought something else that we just split. I need somewhere to split, and that splitting at category boundaries, splitting at topic boundaries would be a nice thing to do,
mm-hmm.
rather than just splitting somewhere.
Yeah, it's supposed
so
to split it into
topics
with similar information.
Yeah, I'm also a bit like, I'm not 100% sure about Rainbow being the right one, because it seems that Rainbow does in its structure part rely on having different examples of the same category, sort of, in a way.
Yeah, but I think it should work for just one document, because it compares between the categories, and if you just have one document, it still can find out which words are informative for that category and which are not. So if you have just one document in each category, and there are a lot of occurrences of the weather in each one, so this word will be not very informative across the categories.
Mm-hmm.
So it should work for one, but I'm not sure how exactly it calculates everything, and I think it's not possible to look that up.
You know what? As a byproduct of my LSA, I provide a vocabulary, like sort of a dictionary, which for each word gives an entropy score, which just tells you of how much information the presence of a word tells you about which topic it is, not which category. Like I'm not lumping together separate topic segments into categories, but just like how much this word tells you about how likely that the occurrence of that word makes it that it's a specific segment, topic segment, which is some measure already of how widespread this word is versus how specific to a certain segment that is. And I just provide that because that's just not much more work than just the usual thing. And then we can see how we can tie that in with the other stuff. So if you keep on working on Rainbow meanwhile and try to find a way how to tie your Rainbow stuff into some way that we can attach it to a certain time segment.
Yeah, maybe it's possible to have a list that it's that is ordered by.
Just thinking, if is each word completely unique? Like, sort of, does it treat each word, each occurrence of word, as a completely unique event, or does it? I mean, no, it has to. I mean, basically, the form of the word is important, right? We can't just replace the word by an arbitrary string. Because it looks if the same word occurs again and stuff. Yeah, it has to work.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think it's a stupid question. Like, it has to work on the word, like on. What I was thinking is whether if we replace the word by something uniquely identifiable, then it would make a difference which order it is. But that wouldn't work because it needs the word, because that's all it's working on. It's the word, and it looks if that word occurs again and versus how often that word occurs in other contexts, right? So we can't attach some type of information to the word, just to the word string itself, like making an underscore, making the time or something, that wouldn't work.
You can use some kind of truncation. Maybe if you attach a number to each word and say that it should omit the last
but
part.
But would it have that in the untruncated version then? Like would the output be the untruncated version?
No, probably not.
No, I don't think it would.
I should try something different and just program it for myself.
Yeah, for now, I mean, really just like. Yeah, I think if we work together on an entropy based score, it's. Let me see if I can demonstrate. I mean, let's just keep on talking meanwhile and I'll try to start that up. It's a very simple thing, but it basically just does something which tells you how specific a word is. in a sense, it's basically just in to a high degree really telling you how rare a word is,
mm-hmm.
or how common a word is. But as the first step, that's probably for a prototype for next week, that's probably not a bad thing. I mean, even if it's just that, even if you just like, if you have segments where lots of rare words occur, highlighted in darker red than segments where all the very common words occur, that's just that somewhere to start from. And it's a bit more sophisticated than that, but then de facto it just ends up doing that, mostly, from what I figured out. Actually, I think I'm not gonna start that now because it's probably gonna take too long. So, if we get it on a word by word basis, whatever you do, it'll probably be on a word by word basis, and what you have is on a sort of segment but not quite segment base.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really decided on how to really get the information out of this now because. When I have, for example, increased speaker overlap, that applies to several turns, of course. But I could give the information about how important this is to each of those segments.
Okay, what about the following model? I mean, this is a very unscientific way of doing it in some sense, but what if we take time as the standard unit for now and sort of like make a massive 1 second split super array? Because everything you're doing can in one way or the other be tied down to actual time. So if for each 1 second time slot we could attach a value, and then it would be easy to then go back when, if we have the time marks here, and remap that onto the length of a segment. You know what I mean? So if you have for each word, say, and we know that word starts at this second and ends at that second, and you have for some time period, the overlap in that period or the F1s in that period or something, so you also have a value which can be tied down to a time. And then we could just in MATLAB or in something just create some massive super array of things for each like sort of time sampling slot and calculate a value for this. And once we have this array, we can go with the script and sort of go for each segment to the starting and end times and say, okay, this is from our time segment here to this time segment there. So we take the sum of those and divide them by the numbers and then create the average and put it in as the value for the segment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how can we get to know what makes sense as a function for joining everything together?
Oh,
it might be difficult to find.
That's a fiddling play in the end, but that problem we'll always have. Because we don't have a useful way of automatically evaluating we don't have a way of usefully evaluating automatically what's good and what's bad, so it's probably always going to be a question of looking at it and saying, okay, like running it with different factor loadings and saying, okay, this way works this well, this way works that well.
Yeah, plus what you proposed, we should break that down to have the smallest unity. Of time duration should be one word, and that would be because that would be what naturally came out of her thing.
But it would probably be more difficult for map to map for you to map it on. So
yeah, sure, but I could then if I have the value for a second, I would perhaps just give all the important words.
Yeah, you could always find out how many words there are in an utterance.
Thank
you.
Yes.
Yeah, but so you say that in like you basically say having an array where each cell is one word,
mm-hmm.
I think, and then you would map your information onto individual words.
Yeah, I would somehow have to break it down.
Hmm?
I would probably somehow have to break it down to that level.
Would you be able to find out which word that is in?
Yes, sure.
And then we could have like some type of just point in the end where the one scores from all the individual word cells get multiplied all with like for each utterance or whatever you have get all multiplied with the same value, all the ones that are within that utterance, and that's sort of the combination of the two scores.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to go back again and then put that back into that segment mode here.
Mm.
So that we, because in the end we don't want it on a per word basis, but probably on a per segment basis.
Yeah, but then, okay, but at that moment it would be better for me to just make it on a per segment basis right away.
Mm.
And that's where I adapted also to that.
So. Oh yeah, yeah, see that, yeah, that's true. So that it's easier if you are able to, yeah, well, I think that's probably back where we started. But you said, but you said it's even more complicated because your segments aren't those segments exactly.
Yeah, I mean, mine are only more, but they have the same start and end point. Sometimes there are two segments and one with a gap in between, but
mm.
and they have, they don't overlap.
Mm. And their segments do overlap.
No, no, they don't. But
those two or those don't.
I mean, my segments overlap in the same way as theirs do, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes I have split one of the segments into two segments, but it's easy to match their start
okay.
and end times.
So you could, on their granularity,
to their segments.
You could, on their granularity, create a score like
yeah,
for each of their segments. Well, I guess, I mean, for you, if you know for each word, if you find that out, then it
yeah,
has to be possible. Because
yeah.
if you know sort of this is going from word to word, or if this is going from time to time, and then there has to be a way then for you to say, okay, this concerns these following words. And then just make a simple mean over them. I think an interesting thing is if we don't combine your two scores in the XML file yet, but if we do that in the software, then we can probably make ways of playing with it in the software and sort of, you know, like adapting some sort of control, like playing around with, look like just playing with different weightings for the utterance based one versus the word based one and sort of look at it dynamically. You know what I mean? Like playing around, sort of figuring out what's the best way of combining them by playing around and looking at the results.
We could even have a look at our different measures if they come
yeah.
up with the same kinds of.
Yeah, we could probably like make a graphical display initially, at least for our experimenting, which displays them in different ways and then see how they interact with each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm already doing with my.
Okay, yeah. So, do you think, like, both of you then can map something onto their segments? Like, just each of you provide one value, like double value or whatever, like one decimal value or whatever, onto exactly their segments.
I think if I can provide something for the words as they are, it's stated from where to where the segments go, which should be.
It's stated
yeah.
both.
It's even which words it is.
Yeah.
It's done both in terms of words and in terms of segments. It's a bit sad sort of that we do this before we've truly figured out how the Nitex melting works because now we're doing it all by hand and like parsing and unparsing the thing and it's all part of the framework.
Yeah.
How much easier would it be if we truly understood this?
Well, I'm sure it'd be quite straightforward some of the tasks we have to do. But yeah, no one really understands them. But that's what XML parsing.
Okay, I might just change my order of in which I do things and like forget my latent semantic analysis stuff until the weekend and try to really make sense of the night data system now so that maybe as soon as I've understood that we find ways of doing that within the night framework already so that we don't manually have to parse times and tie things together.
You mean by matching strings or?
Well, at the moment, what you would do, like, to solve this problem is you would sort of like write some Perl script or something that gets this time value out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, what I've done is a parser, an XML parser, where you can get the start times.
Okay.
So that's quite easy because it's an attribute, and you just say that you want the
mm-hmm.
values of those attributes.
So provided that you get your words in the right order, do you think it is an easy task for you? It's a relatively feasible task for you to get. Just a single value per segment.
I think that should be possible. I don't know how long it takes me.
Okay. And you say you think you're able as well to map onto those segments.
Yeah.
And if you're both able to map onto those segments, then we should be able to get one file where we have, like, whatever, two values, value A and value B, both as attributes for.
Yeah.
for this. And that we could load into a prototype and see what types of what ways of displaying this information are there.
Yeah, I had to have some value quite soon, but I just worked, I just calculated the values for the average F0s, and I didn't have a look at the data yet, but they vary quite widely even for the same speaker across meetings.
Mm.
So one speaker had an average of about 100 in one meeting and 160 in another meeting. That's really it's strange. I mean, perhaps it's because of laughter or something. That's what I was thinking, but I didn't have.
There's probably also social interaction factors, and that sometimes just a meeting, like people adapt their F0s to each other, and sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I read in one of those papers. Yeah, that's why. But yeah, that could mess up things quite considerably.
Can you not do something like just like not measuring the F0, the absolute law, but just like the variance of F0 within a certain time frame, and like sort of like just have some parts where it's very low variance where they're more or less talking about the same F0, and one where they have a lot of more variance. I don't know about that.
But but all this is quite, you know, data intensive.
Yeah.
I just calculate the average F0 levels, I think it needed more than half an hour, considering more than half an hour to do that for our meetings. Because we have 75 hours per average of 6 speakers, and they measured every 0.016 seconds, and that gives us quite a lot of values.
Okay. So at the moment you're measuring the F0s relative to the average for the speaker, or?
Yeah, what I did at the moment is I got the F0 values for each speaker for his headphone, and I only take those that were recorded at the time where he was actually speaking, and for those I calculated the average.
So the average
that gave me now one value per speaker per meeting.
Okay. So what you would be feeding in would be just like one value per speaker per meeting. So
no, that's just the average.
That's your average baseline. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, now. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, yeah. So that would show you how much relative to how he's performing generally in that meeting, relative to that. How he's in a specific segment.
Yes, I mean, I just needed to have this value now to relate.
And for you, that would be quite easy to translate into those segments. Yeah,
yes,
I've asked this question 15 times.
Is laughter annotated at all? Because
I
could take that one out,
maybe.
If you take the laughter out,
I actually have to look at the data, what causes these. Because it's quite funny to have a male speaking at 200.
The Castrati Core of the International Computer Science Institute. I'm afraid I have to go soon. I'm not quite sure if there's anything more we have to talk about.
Maybe
we
meet at the weekend.
Yeah. See, as soon as I'm halfway through my LSA, like basically as soon as I have the matrix built of the document by word stuff, it's very easy to then calculate for each word a score, and I can just give you those scores and you can do with them whatever you want.
So how about the prototype? If we want to show him something on Monday, we definitely have to work together. Some of us at least have to work together to get it running.
Yeah, I think Colin, Dave and me will actually work on the Java stuff in it, and we'll just see whatever you supply us, we'll try to tie in and visualize in some way or another. I'll ask Jonathan if we can postpone the meeting to 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that would give us a chance of meeting him for an hour before that to discuss the questions that we had.
Yeah. Yeah, just send us an email and tell us what's happening.
Yeah, I haven't gotten like sort of my confirmation that Wednesday is fine. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to expect a confirmation for my confirmation from him now, or but I'll just email him again and ask him if we can maybe make it one, sorry, reset 12 and I'm asking if we can make one. This is a bit frustrating at the moment, isn't it? It's like difficult to get to the point where you understand enough to really feel it. I don't know, I'm not feeling that I'm really working at the moment, I'm just trying to make sense of everything.
Mm.
It's a bit far into a meeting for that.
I'm
too
cautious. I'm at the moment fiddling around with my data and not quite seeing how I get to a sensible abstraction level, you know, from my very.
I guess as soon as we have a framework in the type of the prototype where like sort of each of us can tie in their stuff and see what it, how it looks like and how it performs, you know, that probably makes it a lot easier then. But instead of it's a bootstrapping problem, like for the prototype we need some type of data, but to develop the data it would be a lot easier to have the prototype.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got to
say. So I mean you will be happy with some data even if it doesn't make much sense.
Yes, but if it's in a form which is easy to read in at the moment, that would be fine. Sort of like if we have something like this segments file, but for each of you like just have one attribute. I think it's really easy if we don't merge them beforehand, but if we combine them in the prototype or don't at the moment, because then we can easily display them individually, contrast them to each other, and play around with how to combine them.
And also we don't have to recalculate it, just
exactly,
one.
Yeah. And I mean computationally multiplying two integers or doubles or whatever shouldn't be the thing that...
Yeah, if it's already in segment space, that's not too much.
Yeah.